Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We are going to talk about housing in the area this morning and really focus in as we go along this morning about a program called Keys for Christmas that you will hear much about, I think, in the community over the next few months. Samantha Shukas is here with the George Washington Regional Commission and the continuum of care that we often talk about on this program. And the continuum of care, Samantha, has a face and it's you. So it's exciting because as we talk about a number of these agencies that come in here often, we always hear about the continuum of care, and that's you. So we'll get into that in just a second. And Josie Ramos is here, the community housing locator with MICA, Lois Hands Hope House, Thurman Brisbane, and Empower House. Josie, good to have you here this morning.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
This is going to be an interesting show because, like I said, all of these agencies come in here and we talk about housing, and this Christmas program is a unique program. Josie, I'll start off with you and just kind of talk about what you do as a community housing locator, because you're really kind of floating around and helping all of these agencies, I guess.
Absolutely, and each agency is different. So with MICA, they're the individuals, single, no children, maybe husband and wife, and then we also have the Hope House, which is our families, children, parents. And then Empower House, of course, families, singles that need it. And so I go around negotiating properties, finding properties, which, you know, we're a little short of right now. And that's what the Keys for Christmas is all about.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
Getting in there. So I have a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun in the community. I get to meet a lot of landlords, get to house them. I have the best job in the world. I mean, you've got case managers, housing navigators that work with our clients, mm-hmm. but I get to put them in a home. So that's the best job.
That must be some kind of a feeling.
It's the best feeling.
Yeah, when that happens, because that's ultimately the goal.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure sometimes people will come to you and just feel like it's hopeless, and you're able to track something down.
Absolutely, and it's not just me. I mean, we have great teams behind me that support me as well. But yeah, it's very rewarding. It's nice to see them transition from one situation to another and then see them thrive in that new home.
It seems like it's been a few years now, 4 or 5 years ago maybe. I remember when a lot of things housing-wise changed around here, when a lot of these, the groups we just mentioned that you work with all really started working together on
right.
this. And that really changed a lot
mm-hmm.
of things.
To work together, it's definitely a stronger force. Collectively, when as a community, and I say community in every interview I say, because it's so important
yeah.
as a community together here in Fredericksburg and the regional area, to just work together towards one common goal, and that's to end homelessness, to get them in a home, get them safe, out of the weather, out of COVID risks and things
yeah.
of that nature. We've done a lot through COVID. We never stopped working. So housing looked a little different then. You know, there wasn't a lot of houses, but we wanted to make sure that everybody was off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And we accomplished that. I feel that we have. And now it's the next stage. We did temporary housing, and now we're ready for permanent housing for these individuals and families. And
yeah.
that's our goal.
How'd you get involved in work like this?
I was a loan officer for about a little bit over 12 years in here in Fredericksburg, downtown. And I was looking for a feel-good job. My children were grown, and
yeah.
I said, I need a feel-good job. And I was blessed to find this opportunity. Started part-time, and it became full-time. Like, in 3 months, I was addicted.
How about that?
I was
that?
Like, this is the best. I want to say the most fun I've had professionally and the most rewarding. I mean, it feels good to wake up in the morning. It feels good to go to sleep at night. I feel proud. I feel humbled. In my community, I love mm-hmm. walking downtown and seeing our people. And I'm never among strangers, regardless of walks of life. So
yeah,
that's what got me in here is the passion. And I love real estate, so it's nice to see it from this perspective and angle, for sure.
Josie Ramos is the community housing locator. Samantha Shukas is with the George Washington Regional Commission in the continuum of care. How'd you get involved with what you do?
Yeah, so back in about 2016, I was part of my master's program. I was actually working with the Continuum of Care down in Richmond as part of an internship, and that kind of got me hooked. I did clinical service for a long time, doing adult protective services up in Fauquier, and then realized a lot of my clients were homeless and just struggling. So homelessness kind of on a larger scale from a system perspective got me. I then started with the George Washington Regional Commission as their AmeriCorps VISTA for a year, volunteering with them when Kate Gibson was still their Continuum of Care coordinator, and then became full-time after that. So the George Washington Regional Commission, I've been there for about 3 years altogether doing work.
Talk about the George Washington Regional Commission, because so often, especially on this show, when we talk about GWRC, a lot of times it has to do with the localities working together and transportation or things like that. But this is a component I know that that GWRC has been involved with.
Yeah, so GWRC does a whole mix of things. We do have the collaboration of all the localities. Anything that kind of rises above a single locality's kind of purview. Mm-hmm. Usually passes through our office in some kind of way. So we do anything from transportation, we do environmental, we do economic development, we do homelessness. Up until about 5 years ago, the Continuum of Care was actually with the city of Fredericksburg. And so that, we wanted it to be expanded to a more regional effort, and so we moved it to the GWRC in order to make that happen.
I remember when it went kind of regional, because that was a big deal, and it sort of was the shift of all these agencies coming together. Because I can remember, I might have been Lisa at Hope House or somebody talking, or it could have been Megan at Micah talking about this continuum of care. And describe what that is.
Yeah, so with the shift from the city a couple of years ago, it was the first time that we actually had a full-time person staffed for the continuum of care. It used to be part-time duties mm-hmm. of the city planner.
Okay.
So now it was a full-time person really focusing on. So the continuum of care is a federally mandated network of organizations in the community. So we serve the entire planning district, Spotsylvania, King George, Caroline, Stafford, and the city. And basically it's all the organizations who touch the lives of people who experience homelessness, either by providing direct services like our shelters or our day center or housing programs, or even who just peripherally do, like the Moss Free Clinic, who provides healthcare mm-hmm. services for those, or the food bank. So we organize together and strategically plan how we as a community will prevent end homelessness, rather than how each of our agencies will do it, even though when we make our plan, we understand the larger piece, the larger system, but the small pieces that come into that. So each agency comes providing a piece of our plan, but us being able to collaborate together means that we don't duplicate services, not everyone's doing the same thing, and we're able to really make headway and move the needle towards ending homelessness.
The numbers, the homeless numbers, have been going down in this area, haven't they?
A little bit. Over the past, 5 years, they've hovered right around 200. But our population increase is so large. We are the second fastest growing planning district in the state, right behind Northern Virginia. So even though we've seen this huge population increase in our region, we're not seeing a huge spike in our homeless numbers. In our last point in time count, we do it every January. We go out and we survey every person who's experiencing homelessness. We found about 207 people on that night. So it fluctuates up and down just slightly, but usually around 200.
Wow, that's a big number.
Yeah.
When you see that, and I've seen pictures of it, and you look around the area sometimes, you can, when especially when the leaves come off the trees, that's you start right. seeing things, and it breaks your heart mm-hmm. just to know that there are people that in that number of people in the community that are having to live that way.
That's right.
But fortunately, I think the thing about 200 is it is a large number, I think, for our area, but it's not a large number in the grand scheme of homeless services. For instance, Los Angeles is anywhere from 50,000 on a given night. So I think 200 is a large number. I would not even want to see one person homeless, mm-hmm. but it's also a number you can wrap your head around.
Right.
And you can really think, 200 homes? I can find 200 homes. I can make mm-hmm. this happen. So I think that's where we're lucky, is we are in that sweet spot where it is a large number and it is a big feat to kind of overcome. But at the same time, completely doable if we put the right resources and right strategies towards it.
That's interesting. Yeah, it is. You're right. That is. And I guess you two really work. You two really, you're like sisters here.
Uh-huh. And we're neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely feed off of my leaders. They direct me in the way I need to go. Being in this position for a year, I feel like I'm almost there where I know. I feel confident what I'm doing. I've really studied the our market as a loan officer. So now coming
right
around, it's nice that my previous position has blessed me in this position. God makes no mistakes, right?
Yeah.
Puts you right in the same spot that you need to be. And with me, I've been able to go through my same network in just this. And everybody I knew, no, personally, professionally, I knew they had a big heart. I just had to get that message out to them. So that's what I do. I just go around telling them everyone's story is you want to help, right? Everybody wants to help. They just don't know how to.
Right.
So that's really my job, to go out here and show people how you can help. Let's make affordable housing. Let's keep affordable housing in our area. You know, we want new houses, but we still have rentals that we need to obtain for our community. And that's what I do.
Well, what makes, I think, you two so effective, because you've got the, you know, your background, mm-hmm, with what you've done as a loan officer and all, and Samantha, you've worked just kind of in the local government world, and this meshes perfectly.
Yeah, but she also resources me with a lot of different resources that we don't even have here in Fredericksburg. Other housing locators, their ideas, their strategies, and we're able to connect and bring that to Fredericksburg as well. HUD, I mean, all the different agencies that we don't really get to touch, Sam does. And then she brings us all that information to empower us to continue to do the work that we do.
Yeah. So a lot of the work that I do is around researching best practices, trying to figure out what resources people can do. I do not do direct service at all, so I really rely on all of our wonderful partners in the community and Josie to be on the grounds with the people trying to figure it out, and I'm just kind of feeding the information and feeding the resources that they need.
Samantha Shukas is here. She's with GWRC and the Continuum of Care. Josie Ramos is the community housing locator. Housing in the area. We're going to get into keys for Christmas as we go along this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking housing this morning. Josie Ramos, the community housing locator, with Micah, Lois Ann's Hope House, the Thurman Brisbane Center, and Empower House here this morning, along with Samantha Shukas with the George Washington Regional Commission and the Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care. Josie, you mentioned a few minutes ago and talked about COVID and all of that. And I know in the early days of that, and really throughout, but there really was the concern, like you said, of getting people off the streets and into something. And I guess that still continues.
Correct. I mean, it's endless efforts, right? We were able to, as a community, came together. We were able to put them in temporary housing and motels in the area, kept them socially distanced and things of that nature. But food, like, we were able to feed them. I mean, hundreds of people came out. It was a lot. It was overwhelming, in a positive way, to see so many people come together. We fed them. We clothed them. We made sure they were sheltered. And now it's the next stage. It's still ongoing. We're still in stages in Virginia. And our people, we had the National Guard come out and test at the sites. And so many, it's all negatives, right? Like, and then me as, I mean, I'm boots on the ground. I'm out here, but I'm still practicing social distancing, putting my mask on. And thankfully, knock on wood, still negative test.
You're okay.
I've been swabbed. And that's what's important, is keeping our community healthy, our whole community. Because the more people we have in the streets, the more we're exposed to it. Our children are exposed to it. I mean, we don't even open our schools all the way yet, but we can't expect to have our people out there either.
Yeah.
So we were very blessed. And I'll let Sam talk about our funding, what we received.
Yeah, so I think COVID did have a challenge for us. Starting mid-March, things really started to kind of shut down very quickly.
Yeah.
We had our shelter in place from the governor. And so Virginia, across the state commonwealth, kind of had a push to get people off of the street and into temporary housing, specifically because if you are in an encampment or living outside, you do not have access to hygiene process or even the basic things that you need. They're telling us to wash our hands all the time, but you don't even have access to running water. So we did a big push to bring people inside temporarily. That meant expanding our congregate shelters, so Thurman Brisbane and Hope House and Powerhouse, but also making sure that they had what they needed inside of those to have PPE and have their staff protected. How do you social distance people who are in close quarters in a congregate shelter?
Right.
So we put some things in place for that, and then we just didn't have enough beds for every single person who was experiencing homelessness, so we were able to expand emergency shelter through temporary hotel stays. And now our biggest thing is, how can we make sure that the people who we have in our shelters right now don't remain homeless or do not return to unsheltered situations, go back to the street once COVID's over? So we don't want to just protect them for COVID. We want to keep them going. I think it's more traumatic to put someone in temporary shelter and then say, okay, get back to the street.
That's awful.
Yeah, so that's where we are now. We've received
in the winter, right?
In the winter's coming. Yes.
Yeah.
So we're really thinking about what do we do for our cold weather shelter and things like that, or how do we protect people from the elements? Luckily, with CARES Act, we got a lot of funding for our community. The state got, I think, over $40 million in homeless services. So they've distributed that across the Commonwealth. Our community got almost $2.5 million in funding. So we've been able to put that towards emergency shelter, and now we're putting it towards our housing effort to make sure that people are returning to housing.
Well, and there's been such a focus with the COVID, and now as it starts to get colder, and I know there's always with the cold weather shelters, and that's just on top of everything else. So it's, I mean, you're looking at some challenging things.
Definitely, and I think COVID just exasperates us. I mean, the winter always makes it a little more hectic and a little scarier for us as we think about the people who are exposed to the elements. But how do you do that safely? I think also we're in month 8 now of this. I think people are getting a little fatigued. And so how do we make sure that we're keeping up with that and making sure that people are doing what we need to do to keep everyone safe, even as we continue to go back to normal and kind of getting everyone situated.
Yeah, just sort of easing into that. Boy, Josie, when you talk about, you know that there, as far as the test numbers, because initially you really feared for what was going to happen with the homeless community, and you just thought this could get out of control quickly.
It could have, but it didn't, because we worked together as a community.
Yeah.
All the agencies worked together. You know, I'm under all the agency, well, the four agencies that I service, and we worked really close together. We've had some agencies that didn't go into the office, but nothing stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all worked together, worked from home for, I think it was like a week. And then I was like, I can't get anything done here.
Yeah.
So I just need to, and it was nice that a lot of the businesses which were closed, you know, to the public in the first stage, because it allowed me to really, truly, freely walk through our town, really get in touch with everyone. Everybody was working from home kind of thing, so
yeah.
I was able to make more contacts that way. But, yeah, it's just...
Well, and I know, like, simple things, like I know in Powerhouse was either their shelter or even being able to find places for a lot of these families and a lot of these women and children. It was just, at first it was touch and go, but they ended up, you know, a lot of people stepped up and helped out.
They did. We had a lot of volunteers. Staff never stopped working.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, nothing stopped. What we don't see is everybody was thinking, I was like, oh, there's no homeless in Fredericksburg right now. Oh, the crime is down or this is down. Yeah, because there's people in the background, temporary shelters. We've got volunteers going to them, still social distancing, food, taking food to the homeless instead of having them go out and, you know, get exposed to the elements and things of that nature. But COVID did change it. I think it gave us a little push, sense of urgency. It says, let's get this done right now. So I think it was a positive thing. Not COVID, but the sense of urgency.
Yeah, and things got done.
Yeah, for temporary shelter in the summertime. Usually we focus that more in the wintertime. So in the heat of summer, we had families out of the streets. Everybody, it was collectively as a state, nation, we were like, nobody gets left behind. And we still want to keep that momentum. We can't, we put them in temporary housing. That's not forever. And I can only imagine as a child or a mother or a father, you put me somewhere for 8 months and then you put me back in the street.
That's
We can't do that.
Yeah. Samantha, when she just said that.
Will not do that.
Yeah. Well, and we hear so much and we see it over and over again when things come up and how this community steps up. And this really is an area, too, that the community has stepped up in. And I think a lot of people don't realize it. And because it's been so seamless, you all just kept your heads down and plowed on through and really made an effort. And you know, it succeeded.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand fully the impacts of what COVID did. I think very similar to when you see like natural disasters or some other kind of national tragedy. People really do step up and like take care of their other people on a level where you don't think that they would. I mean, everyone's having hardships right now, but you still see people coming forward to give what they can. I also think that people don't they think a lot about the spread of the disease and not so much what the other impacts are, like in Powerhouse, for instance, who serves domestic violence, seeing the increase in survivors that are at risk because of now they're quarantined in their homes with an unsafe environment.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of positives that come with it. There's a ton of funding to really important programs on a level that's never seen before, that is happening across the country and in the state. All the funding that we've gotten through CARES is money that we would never have had. So where for so long we've lived in this kind of process of scarcity, now we're trying to figure out what would happen if we actually funded it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where we are. So what happens if we actually invest in all the things that we would love to invest in? I know that there's a lot of downsides to that and where does the money come from and all the impacts, and we're still going to figure that part out. But like just for a moment, what would it look like? And so I think for us in the continuum, we've been talking about we're going to make lemonade. Mm-hmm. With all the lemons
that's
we've been given, we're going to make lemonade.
That's
and so we're going to make things happen in a level that they've needed to happen, just haven't been able to without the funding.
Well, that's a good, that kind of will lead us into the Keys for Christmas program, and we will get into that when we come back. Samantha Shukas and Josie Ramos here this morning. We're talking housing. We'll get into Keys for Christmas when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking housing this morning with Samantha Shukas with the George Washington Regional Commission and the Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care. And Josie Ramos is the community housing locator with MICA and Lois Ann's Hope House, Thurman Brisbane Center, and Empower House. We've talked a little bit about it. We're going to jump into it. And really one of the big reasons you're here is the Keys for Christmas program. Josie, you want to lead it off and talk about it, or should Samantha?
I think collectively we can make the point across. 95 homes in 90 days.
95 homes.
Okay. Families in 90 days.
95.
That's the goal.
Okay.
95. Yep. We had, 207 homeless
people?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like we were talking about, I don't think people realize if we were to accomplish this goal of 95 families in 90 days, we'd basically be housing every person that we put in either temporary shelter or we've discovered that they're homeless in our community.
Wow, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah,
and
it
the
is very exciting.
The potential is greater. So how does this happen? How does the community make this happen?
So Keys for Christmas, the program itself, again, it's from October 1st until December 24th, Christmas Eve, where we're giving an incentive for our landlords, our upcoming partners that are looking to join in with us as a landlord if they're not already active with us, where we give the first month's rent, we give the deposit just like everybody else, but then we also have a bonus for them. They get to keep 1 month's rent for themselves as a thank you, not only from the state, from us, all the agencies, for being a partner and helping us end homelessness. That's their bonus. So I know in the real estate world, when you're a realtor and you get commissioned, you don't get a full month unless you're a broker. So this is one time, just from my angle, as an owner of a home, you can commission yourself a bonus just by helping and doing what you're supposed to be doing, is helping our community and helping us house these families. Just yesterday, I had two lease signings. I had two families that we were able to, I was blessed to watch them sign their leases. And the landlord, I handed them the extra check, and they were like, "What is this?" And I'm like, "That's keys for Christmas." They had totally forgot about it. They just, you know, they do it because they love what they're doing. And I was like, "Well, you can give it back." They were like, no, we'll take it. So it was nice to hand out two checks for them to keep. And we all need extra money right now. Everybody talk about stimulus this and stimulus that. This is another way of helping the other side of the community, like owners. You know, a lot of people don't think there's not a lot of houses. And then those that are there with the CARES Act, what are these landlords? How are we protecting the landlords? How can we give back to the landlords through all of this? And we figured this is a great balance. We get to help the homeless, get to help the homeowner or the landlord or the property manager by giving them an incentive. They don't need it, but we've got it to give. And I know I've been here for a year as a community housing locator. We've never been able to do that. Ever.
No, so it's really the first time that we've been able to offer any kind of incentive program for landlords. And really the idea came from, we now have funding to put people in housing, but we don't have the housing there to match it. Mm-hmm. So we have 95 households that we want to move in. Vacancies right now are really low, especially with the eviction moratorium. We've also realized our reliance on evictions to house homeless people doesn't seem to make sense to us anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As people become homeless, for us to house more homeless people. So we're trying to jingle loose some new units, get some people on board who haven't partnered with us in the past by offering them this incentive and telling them about our great program. What's also really awesome is the program behind Keys for Christmas is the same thing that we've been doing for years.
Correct.
So the Continuum of Care has actually been running housing programs since about 2008 through Rapid Rehousing. So it's short-term subsidy housing for our partners to get people back into homes quickly, get them stabilized in the community, and get them the services that they need. What's really awesome for landlords is they get a case manager who's coming in with all of these people each month. So if there is ever an issue, they're able to make contact with someone and kind of mitigate those rather than going through that expensive eviction process, which you may not be able to do right now anyway. So I think with our incentives and offering all the great things that kind of come along with our programs in general and do any time of year, we're actually able to have people feel a little more secure putting people into new units that they may have been holding on to, not knowing what the eviction moratorium would mean if someone was to move in and not pay the rent.
Boy, this is really, a win-win kind of thing. And it just stabilizes the community that much more.
Definitely. It really does on both sides, as a landlord and also as a tenant. And I like to paint the picture of what it looks like, just to say one person at a time, one family. I locate a landlord. That landlord says, "I have a home for rent." I said, "Great, let's go look at it." I inspect it because I get to do our own inspections. I inspect it for habitability. I go in. It's great. It passes. It's affordable because we do play fair market rate. I mean, we're not looking for, we will take $500 units, but we're being realistic and still staying within the guidelines of affordable housing. Once we get them, I do the inspection, and then I go to my partners and I says, "I've located a home. Let's put someone in there." And whichever one fits best, meaning if it's a family, if it's a three-bedroom, whatever the case may be, we then show it to the tenant, and then the tenant applies. Landlord still gets to pick who goes in their home. So it's not like, "Oh, I'm giving you my house, I have no say-so." Absolutely not. You actually have equal rights here. And I go with the housing navigator, case manager, social worker, whichever way you want to call it, with whichever the agency is. And it's just basically I consider myself an advocate on both sides. So I do the inspection, they see the house, they apply, they get approved, we move in. We don't just drop them off there. All four agencies that I service are hands-on with these families, invested up to like 2 years. I mean, we can, until they're independent. Mm-hmm. We don't just pay, help with rent. We don't just subsidize rent. We help with social aspects of it, mental health, make sure that everyone is thriving, make sure that the transition from homelessness to housing happens in a positive manner. People don't think you've been sleeping outside all this time. You're going inside. That's a big transition.
It's big change.
And no one can do that by themselves. And that's why I feel so confident that we can do 95 houses in 90 days. And like, I just want to express to, I want to stress, I can't stress this enough to the landlords that are thinking of coming on board. We're not just putting, if you don't understand homelessness, or just because you've never experienced it yourself, that's a blessing. But just trust that these all four agencies are 100% dedicated for the successes of these families and individuals. So it's a whole community. You're getting a whole gang with it. So you can rent to a person with 700 credit score, has a great job, but do you know what's happened? Not saying that nothing's going to happen, but do you have somebody that you can call and say, I really don't feel like talking to the tenant. Can you, or this is happening, or I think I'm gonna have a worker going in there, or whatever the case may be. You can go directly to the housing navigator and say, hey, I want to go by the house, and how's everything going? You can't do that with a regular tenant.
Right.
You can't. And not saying anything's wrong. It could be a good phone call. It could be, hey, you guys renewing the lease? You can actually have a conversation. These are real people. So that's I share that on every Thursday on Facebook Live of our Stable Homes Partnership. We're on Facebook, and we have live videos every Thursday, usually around like 10:30 or 11, with every partner that we have existing partners, if it's a property manager or a landlord or individual. And we've given them the chance to share their side of the experience, and it's even more feel good because it feels good. Just yesterday I was with a property manager, and I interviewed them on Facebook, and their mission statement shares that they're for the community. They got their reward for doing this program and doing any of housing, because they've been doing it before. 95 homes, 90 days, the keys for Christmas was the reward of seeing a family sign the lease. I mean, you're not buying a house, but for them, it's the closest thing to purchasing a home. It really is.
Yeah, and you think about where they've been.
And it's not always, people can be homeless for so many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always alcoholism. It's not always mental health. It could be the victim of domestic violence. It could be they were one paycheck away. Most of us are one paycheck away of being homeless if we don't have the right community, if we don't have family. These are individuals that don't have that immediate community, and that's what we are. And Keys for Christmas, I talk about this. I fall asleep saying it if I sleep. We need 95 homes. We need 95 homes in 90 days.
If someone is a landlord or has space or knows the space, who do they get a hold of, or how do they do that?
Call me. Do not let your home sit vacant. There's no reason for that. We don't have a lot of stimuluses coming, so call me. My phone number is 540-760-3310. Or you can email me at josie@dolovewalk.net.
We also have the Stable Homes Partnership website. So it's stablehomespartnership.org. They can find out information about Keys for Christmas and all the information about basically Josie's part of the COC is our Stable mm-hmm. Homes Partnership and how she works with all of the partners. So any information you want to know about that and contact forms is all on that website.
And keep in mind also with kids that if they've gone back to school and you've got a basement, and you're willing to share that space with, we have veterans. I mean, we have so many needs. It's not just a home. It could be a room
mm-hmm.
in your home. It could be your basement. It could be your in-law suite. We're not looking for mansions. We're looking for habitability. We're looking for habitable homes to place these families in. And that's what I'm out here doing. You're going to hear I'm going to knock on your door. I should not see an empty home in Fredericksburg, Stafford, Spotsylvania. We should not be stressed about vacancies. If your home is vacant, call me, 540-760-3310. Let me show you how you can not only support the community, these families, but it's a good investment. You don't have to worry about your house. It's not going to be vacant. We're not going to have the whole town move in or anything like that. That's why we have these housing navigators. That's why we have the case managers. You have a partner, and even if you're thinking about investing in real estate, this is the time to do it. I mean, there's not a lot of inventory in the market, but if you ever wanted to be a landlord, I think this would be a pretty good start. You're not by yourself. You know, I have landlords in our program. You know, we're blessed. We get a lot of donations for, like, furniture, because we furnish the homes also through donations of the community, churches, volunteers. So once we house them, we also furnish. We're not going to have them sleep on the floor, right? Nobody thinks about, oh, they're inside. What happens next?
Right.
So, forgot where I was going with that. Sorry. But,
so if you do have furniture.
Yeah, if you do have furniture, yes.
They're also accepting donations at the Micah Furniture
Bank. Yes, we're looking for, you know, beds, dressers, TVs, basic needs. We don't want all of your Keurigs, but we'll take them.
But, you can use them.
The essential needs of a home, you know, they don't, the resources are there, and we're still receiving donations, you know, food donations, all of that. And, but again, if you want to get into real estate, if you want to become a landlord, I think this is the safest program that you can get into, even as a new landlord, because you have someone holding your hand.
Right. That's
their hand.
As you've both have discussed this program, just the fact that the helps that come along with it, not only that extra check, but the, you know, the caseworker that you can talk to and work, because I'm sure there are cases if someone's been homeless for a while, it does take some adjustment for a transition to get back
Absolutely.
Into it,
and it takes a village.
And our program really does work. So, like I said, we've been doing it since 2008, but we've also tracked what the outcomes of those are. So 82% of people who move into housing from our housing programs remain in housing 2 years after our program. They're not coming back to homelessness after we walk away. And so that's 2 years after the financial assistance and the case management stops. Not from their move-in, but from when we say, you've got this, you can do this on your own. They are not coming back to us for at least two years. Probably longer. Most of them don't come back.
I would say they don't.
Within
they don't
2 years, 82% of people are not coming back.
That's right. And I think that's why we are running into low inventory too, because our people stay put.
A lot of the landlords that we've worked with still are housing our people.
Yes.
Which we're very happy about, but that also means that our loyal landlords who are used to working with us are now tapped. And so that's why this program is really trying to get some new faces and get some new partnerships for us.
And as you both have described, this isn't, because I really did think when the Keys for Christmas program was simply a whole house. But as you've described it, if you've got a room, or there are all kinds of different options here to get people
Absolutely.
Off the streets and into a home.
Yeah, I mean, I had a gentleman that called me and said, I have a house, I live in it, but I have a room, and I said that works.
Yeah.
So I had three gentlemen that I was able to introduce the opportunity to, and one of them was like, "This is perfect." He was able to walk to work. He was able to keep going. I mean, he was like, "Oh, not only am I inside, but I'm like two blocks from work. This is amazing." So that was a success story. And the guy was like, "I don't think I can help, but I do have a room." Yes, you can. And just as little as a room. It doesn't have to be the master bedroom. It could be just a room in your basement. We'll take care of the furniture. We'll take care of the social aspect of it. We just need the opportunity. But right now, as a housing locator, I'm seeing it across the board. We need more two bedrooms.
Okay.
We need two bedrooms in our area for our, because when we have two single individuals, it's so much easier to be successful when you partner them with a roommate, right? Because if we're looking at about, let's say, $1,000 a month, it's so much more feasible when you have two people paying $500 a piece or whatever the case may be. So instead of going after a one bedroom, I think we will set our people up for success when we put them together. So I was looking for one bedroom, and I was like, you know what, let's talk about this. The two bedroom is a good idea. I'm taking credit for that, but my servant leader, Megan, was the one who taught me that. But the other agencies as well. So two bedrooms, three bedrooms as well. But I think the two bedroom is really what is the lowest in our market right now.
Okay.
Unless it's an apartment complex, which again, they're if you look around, there's not many apartments left.
No.
There really isn't. I mean, there's new ones being built, but not yet.
And not existing, right. Yeah. Exciting stuff. When we come back, we're going to wrap this up, and we'll give phone numbers again and give websites and get everybody at least give you some ideas of how to get involved, again, with the Keys for Christmas program. Josie Ramos and Samantha Shukas here this morning. We will wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning, and really a lot of hope for really a chance to provide a lot of hope for people as we talk about the keys for Christmas and housing in this area. Samantha Shukas is here. She is the Continuum of Care Program Director with the George Washington Regional Commission, and Josie Ramos is the Community Housing Locator with MICA, Lois Hands Hope House, the Brisbane Center, and Empower House. Once again, as we talk about the Keys for Christmas program, you gave a phone number, Josie, if someone wants to get a hold of you in an email address too.
Correct. Yes, my phone number again is 540-760-3310. My email is Josie Josie at dolovewalk.net, and we also have a website, and it's www.stablehomespartnership.org. .org. Thank you. And there you can follow up about the Keys for Christmas, how to get involved, how to volunteer, how to donate. All of that is there, our story, our mission. Please visit our website. And we're also on Facebook at stablehomespartnership.com. sorry. Stable Homes Partnership.
Just
on Facebook.
Type that in.
Yeah.
And
why did they do the .com? I don't know. So visit us on Facebook. We do have live interviews in there with our partners. If you want to know from their side of what it looks like to be a landlord, mm-hmm. You get to see their side of it, not just from me. So yeah, check us out. We're having a lot of fun.
When Samantha, when we first started talking about this, and you just talked about just all the helps that you get along with, you get along as a landlord in all of this, and just what this means to families, what it means to localities. This, you talk about game changer kind of things. This really is one of them. This, you two really do get to see some exciting things.
Yeah, I think this is probably the turning point in our community for homeless services. We are talking about an initiative to have almost every single person experiencing homelessness in housing by the end of this year. So I think it is a turning point for us, and it is a game changer. I think it'll also change the way the COC talks about homeless services in years to come. We've always talked about how do we get people into housing, but if most of them in housing, what's the next step? Mm-hmm. So we've talked about if this happens, if we're successful and we make this happen, which I think we will, but so when it happens,
that's right.
What's the next step? And how do we change our system to then maybe look at less about the crisis reaction, and how can we plan to make sure people aren't becoming homeless, especially with the economic fallout of COVID and the eviction tsunami that everyone keeps talking about? So how do we strengthen our system to prepare for that?
You talk about what a terrible year this has been in so many ways, but as you two talk this morning, I just think, you know, this is something that is really turning out to be good in this year. You kind of touched about it, yeah, that
oh,
it
yeah.
was.
It is a blessing.
Been a terrible year, but not this.
Not this. Mm-mm. And you know, like I said, we're making lemonade, right? We're making lemonade with these lemons. Put a little sugar in it, and that's our landlords. Please be our sugar for our lemonade.
540-760-3310 if you want to get a hold of Josie. 540-760-3310 or stablehomepartnership.org. Samantha Shukas and Josie Ramos, we'll do something again next month and kind of talk about where you're at, what you need, and we'll continue to do that. Thanks for what you do. Wow, this has been really an exciting hour. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you Monday morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Stay safe.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.